Tony's going to read the scripture into his sermon, so stand by for more about faith of Jesus.
Good morning. Very nice to see each one today. There's such a large group, more than we're used to, and it's a very big blessing, and we're thankful for what that represents, too. Our scripture today is Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And this is a real important verse in the Bible. We often use it as Adventists to bring out the emphasis on the commandments. But when we do that, sometimes I think we overlook some of the rest of the verse that I think is very critical to our experience. I'd appreciate it if you don't mind bowing with me as we begin to open God's word. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the words of wisdom and comfort. And Lord, we pray that your spirit will be with each one of us today as we open your word, as we partake of the bread of life that you have. Lord, I pray that you will nourish each one of us. Help us to assimilate this word into our lives and live according to your word. May it sanctify us, as your word says that will happen when we accept it. Thank you for your presence with us, Lord, and bless the opening of your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to welcome my faithful brothers and sisters from the family church, Ivan and Vicky and Bud and Peggy and Kathy. It is an honor to have you guys here today. I thank you for coming and supporting my message. I really appreciate the fellowship that we've developed in a small group setting. I mentioned it last week. It is such a blessing and such an honor. I feel really bad that I have not been faithful in continuing that group, but you guys are very faithful and I appreciate that, and it's been a blessing to me. And it goes along with my sermon today, faithfulness. And what is the faith of Jesus? You don't take anything else from the sermon. I hope that you take that, the question. Ask a question. What is the faith of Jesus? We think once we come to a realization of what that means to us, we always attribute that same characteristic to that faith of Jesus. And we don't look any longer to what else it could mean. Could it mean something else? Could it have a deeper meaning, a more important meaning perhaps? So what I've been doing is asking myself, what is the faith of Jesus? And I looked it up in several versions. Five versions call it the faith in Jesus, that God's last day people will have a faith in Jesus and that will distinguish them. Then five other versions, very reputable on both sides, call it the faith of Jesus. But it might sound like a small thing, but what does the faith in Jesus, where does that originate? Where is that faith originating when we say faith in Jesus? It originates in us, right? It's our faith in Jesus. But faith of Jesus, where does that originate? That originates with Jesus. So it's an important distinction. And I don't know which one is right, but I know that both of them are part of our Christian experience. We have to have faith in Jesus to be saved. And then when we live a life in this world of sin, we need the faith of Jesus to carry us through day by day when we meet trials and tribulations. We have to have his faith dwelling in us. I want to share a little bit of why this is an important subject to me. And I've shared my testimony before, bits and pieces. And it seems like there's a big roller coaster ride. When I'm doing good physically, I do well spiritually, and I'm like a fair-weathered friend. Then my health tanks, and my spiritual life goes right down with it. I start feeling the pain and misery of physical discomfort and praying to God, God, take that pain away. I can't bear it any longer. And after a few days, turn into a few weeks, then I kind of lose hope that God is not able or willing, or for whatever reason, you know, I know he's faithful, but I can't seem to experience the hope any longer. And I can't hold on to my faith. I lose faith and turn to drugs, medicine, whatever else that I can do for myself. I lose my faith in God. And that's why this subject is so important to me. Oftentimes, what we want to talk about is what we need most in our life. I need to experience that faith of Jesus that carries me through those deep valleys. And so that's why I had an interest to ask that question. What is it? How do we have the faith of Jesus? How do we experience this? And what does it look like in my life? I know what I would like it to look like. And recently, I've been excited about reading stories about missionaries. And I read the story of Hudson Taylor. And he was a missionary to China back in the mid-1800s all the way to the beginning of the 20th century. He had an amazing experience, and it was all about faith in Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the, both of them. And when he was 17 years old is when he gave his heart to God, and he knew that he wanted to be a missionary to China. That's what he knew God was calling him to that. As soon as he realized that calling, he was like, what can I do to prepare myself? And he realized the only way he could have any effect in China or anywhere for God was to have faith in Jesus to carry him through, because he knew that that would be a trying experience and he would suffer many difficulties. So he thought, well, to strengthen my faith, I need to start preparing physically. So he got rid of his feather bed and got a hard mattress just on the floor. And from then on, it was everything he could do to prepare himself to trust in God and not trust in the comforts of this life. And that spoke volumes to me. What can I do? Because I know it's my a customization to the comforts of this life that caused me great discouragement when hardships come. And someone told him that a great need in China was a medical need. So he went to school to become a surgeon. And he felt like he still was trusting too much on his own abilities. He was in contact with the China Missionary Society, and they had offered to pay his tuition. And his parents had offered to pay his tuition to go to this medical school. And he kindly refused both of those, told them that he didn't need their funding, and he said, God, I'm going to depend on you, and I want you to provide the way. I want to learn to trust in you. And it almost seems a little presumptuous to reject the help that seems like God is placing in your path. But he wanted to strengthen his faith in Jesus and trust in Jesus. And they put him up in some very nice quarters that had three nice meals a day, comfortable room. But it took all of his money that he made, because he worked as an assistant to a surgeon as he was going through school. And it took all of his money to just pay for the room and board. He didn't have anything left over. And he was convicted he needed to be paying tithe. And he's like, well, I cannot do that if I don't have any money, if it's all used every month. So he went away, found a much less expensive place, rented that. It was way less comfortable. And he found that he could save quite a bit of his salary just by eating rice and oatmeal for every meal. Rice and oatmeal, I think there was one other thing. But it was much cheaper, and it wasn't as tasty. But he could save the money to give for offerings and tithe. And it put him in a position where he had to trust in God all the more. One other thing that he did, instead of getting a notebook to take notes in medical school, he got loose leaf papers and sewed them together to make a notebook so he could take notes. And he saved a little bit of money on not having to buy a notebook to take notes in. And one night he was sewing his papers together and poked his finger. And the next day they had to do an autopsy on someone who died of a very contagious fever. And sure enough, he caught that fever because they didn't have gloves back when he was in medical school. And so they had to do autopsies, and if the germs from the autopsy could get into any place through the skin, they would catch whatever disease the person had that they were doing. And his instructor, who liked him a lot, said, look, there's no hope. It's a, he said, 100% mortality rate for anyone that gets this particular disease, so you need to just go home and put your affairs in order, say goodbye to your family, because you're going to die. And Hudson Taylor walked home, and on the way, he actually lost all of his strength and he had to hitchhike the rest of the way home. Sure enough, he caught the illness within 24 hours. It was very quick. But he knew in the back of his mind, he said, I know that God has called me to be a missionary in China. So he wasn't even concerned that he might die. He knew he was miserable, but he knew that God had a purpose for him. And so he did have to go home and took several weeks to recover. But soon he was back in medical school, and several of his classmates had actually caught the same disease and passed away. But he was very fortunate, and God sustained him through that. And then on the way over to China, the ship he was in was about to be dashed to pieces and sink in the ocean. And the captain was asking him, you know, aren't you afraid? He's like, no. He said, even if this ship does go down and I go down with it, which I don't think it will because God has a mission for me in China, at least I will have the comfort of knowing I'm found following where God was leading when I passed away. He said, I have that assurance. So I'm okay either way. And sure enough, through a miracle, God carried them through that storm and preserved all their lives. And when he got to China, he had to face multiple times where his life was in danger, his family's lives were endangered. He lost one wife and four children there to illnesses, I believe. And so he was going through all this, and all that time he was trusting in God, and the preparation he had made in his life prepared him to be able to trust in God like that. And I think that that is an excellent example of the faith of Jesus. But I think the best example, obviously, is going to be Jesus himself. Let's look at Jesus' life and what was it in Jesus' life that exhibited faith. Faith in who did Jesus have faith in? Jesus had faith in his Father. The first one is one of my favorite verses, Matthew 6:30-33. It says, "Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we need all these things?' But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So this is what Jesus depended on day by day. At one point in his ministry, he said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." So he didn't have anything in this world to depend on. But yet all of that dependence he placed on his Father. And when Satan came to him, he had been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, and Satan came with a terrible temptation, saying, "If you be the Son of God." And that implies a lack of faith right there. Are you really the Son of God? Would God allow his Son to be starving to death here in the wilderness when there's so much power in God to work a miracle for yourself to save you? But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" So even when he was close to dying of starvation, he was yet able to have the faith in his Father and his Father's words that would carry him through even physical need, physical hunger. A little later in his ministry, and this is Mark 4, he was in a ship. He was asleep when the ship was being tossed in the storm and his disciples were fearful for their lives. And they woke him up saying, "Are you going to let us just drown? Please help us. And how can you be sleeping at a time like this?" And first of all, he said, "Peace, be still," to the storm and calm the storm. And his disciples were amazed. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, "How is it that you have so little faith?" This is the type of faith that Jesus had, that even a storm that's about to drown him in the sea, he could have the faith in his Father that nothing would happen. And then when he got to the other side of the shore, a madman with many demons inside of him came rushing at Jesus, and he was able to stand there in peace and cast the demons out. But I think the best revelation of Jesus' faith is when he was actually on the cross and when he was being nailed to the cross and being taunted by wicked men all around him. And he could say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He saw these people not as enemies, but as lost souls who were unaware of his great love for them. And so even when people were hurting him, he looked out for their best interest instead of his own. That's a complete, total, unselfish love. And I think that that is a big part of the faith of Jesus, an unselfish love for others, even when they hurt you. Also, before that, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was suffering under the load of guilt and sin, bearing the load of guilt and sin for the whole world, and he was sweating great drops of blood, he said, "Father, please, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he said, "But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So again, selfless sacrifice for others. And when it becomes the most difficult, ask God to take it away, but be willing, if it's not God's will and if it's according to his purpose that you suffer, to resign yourself to follow in God's will nonetheless. And then I think, to me, the greatest one that I can relate to is when he was on the cross and he was surrounded by darkness and the jeers and taunts of the crowd again, saying, "Where's the God that you believed in? If you truly are his son, bring yourself down and then we'll believe you." And Satan was pressing this on him too. "Look at all the sin that you have, that you're carrying. How could God ever love you again or accept you again?" And feeling that eternal separation that sin brings, he cried out, "Father, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And yet, through trusting God, even though he couldn't feel God's presence, even though he couldn't sense it anywhere around him, and he was being tormented on all sides by Satan, by the people, and God's own face had turned away from him, and he was surrounded by darkness and a sense of separation from his Father, he was able to say in words of victory that it is finished, that the war between Satan, evil and good, is over, and it has been won. He said that through faith, not because he felt it or saw it, but he knew that by faith God was who he had said he would be and that he would always be with them, even if he didn't feel it or see it. And so to me, this is a high standard, a high mark to reach after. It says, but we have someone who will help us reach it. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So see here, it talks about Jesus being the author and the finisher of our faith. So the faith that we live by should be and can be faith that originates with Jesus, the faith of Jesus. And this should be able to carry us through the darkest times in our life. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Paul is encouraging us to let that mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. And as Hudson Taylor came to the end of his life, he had a nervous breakdown while he was giving a sermon one time, and he started repeating the same phrase over and over and over until someone had to lead him off the stage. And it was, we may trust God too little, but we can never trust God too much. And he just repeated that over and over. And for a few weeks after that, he was in a very bad condition, hanging between life and death, and couldn't do hardly anything and had to be helped. And during this time is when the Boxer Rebellion occurred in China, and thousands of Christians lost their lives, but also many of the missionaries. The thousands of Christians were Chinese, but then the main focus of the rebellion was to get foreigners out of the country, and they were attacking all foreigners. It wasn't just Christian foreigners, but I think it was 58 of the missionaries that worked for Hudson Taylor. He ended up starting his own mission and hiring missionaries, so he hired each one of these. 58 of them were martyred, and 27 of their children were martyred with them. And this all happened right after he had had his nervous breakdown, and all the people close to him were trying to keep this information away from him, hide it, because they figured it would just push him into the grave if he knew what was going on in China at this time. And finally, at some point, he heard about it, and he said, I cannot read, I cannot talk, I cannot even pray. He said, but I can trust God. And that's all he could do. And that rings so true with me. When I get sick, I feel like I can't read the Bible. I can't even turn to God in prayer. But this has really opened my eyes. And he bases his trust, his faith in God on 2 Timothy 2:13, if you want to turn to that. It's an amazing promise that never really opened up to me before I read the story about Hudson Taylor. It's amazing how certain things in the Word of God come alive when you understand a different background for that. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So even when we are faithless, when we can't pray, when we don't feel like praying, God remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. And we can trust in him. And what an amazing encouragement that is. To be able to trust in God, even when the time is the very darkest, like Jesus on the cross. All signs point to your demise, and you're surrounded by evil on every side. We can still trust in God, even though we can't see him or feel him. I want to read a little description from the book Great Controversy about Jacob's time of trouble that is coming upon the earth, and God wants us to have the faith of Jesus, to be able to trust in him when all earthly help and support is cut off. Says, with sympathizing tenderness, the angels have witnessed their distress, talking about God's people in the time of Jacob's trouble, and have heard their prayers. They are awaiting the word of their commander to snatch them from their peril, but they must wait a little longer. The people of God must drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism. The very delay so painful to them is the best answer to their petitions. As they endeavor to wait trustingly for the Lord to work, they are led to exercise faith, hope, and patience, which have been too little exercised during their religious experience. And we can see that definitely in our lives, comparing to what a missionary in the 1800s thought that his life before electricity, before cars, was too easy, that he had to get rid of his soft bed and his good meals to be able to trust in God because his life was too easy. Think how much easier we have it today. And God's people, it says, the faith and hope which have been too little exercised during their religious experience. The season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, hunger, a faith that will not faint though severely tried. The period of probation is granted to all to prepare for that time. Jacob prevailed because he was persevering and determined. His victory is an evidence of the power of importunate prayer. All who will lay hold of God's promises as he did and will be as earnest and persevering as he was will succeed as he succeeded. Those who are unwilling to deny self, to agonize before God, to pray long and earnestly for his blessing will not obtain it. Wrestling with God, how few know what it is. How few have ever had their souls drawn out after God with intensity of desire until every power is on the stretch, when the waves of despair which no language can express sweep over the suppliant. How few cling with unyielding faith to the promises of God. Those who exercise but little faith now are in the greatest danger of falling under the power of satanic delusions and the decree to compel the conscience. And even if they endure the test, they will be plunged into a deeper distress and anguish in the time of trouble because they have never made it a habit to trust in God. The lessons of faith which they have neglected, they will be forced to learn under a terrible pressure of discouragement. And I'm sorry, that does sound a little frightening, but we have a God who is faithful. And he will carry us through any storm, any trial, and he will not let us suffer above that we are tempted. And whatever temptations we face, we have the assurance that he won't let anything happen that's not for our best good, to strengthen us for the glory that he wants to reveal in and through us. Luke 18:8 says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find faith in your heart? Will he find faith in my heart when we're in pain and distress and suffering?" In Revelation 3:18, Jesus says, and this is his counsel to the last day church, "I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich." Anyone know what that gold is that he is counseling us to buy of him? 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, which perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so we see that our faith is only found in trials. If we had no trials, if we had no tribulations, we would have no need of faith. But it's these trials and tribulations that develop faith in us. So this is the gold that is tried by fire. And what goes along with faith is also very important. Galatians 5:5-6, it says, "Through the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And that's what saves us, righteousness by faith. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith, working through love." And the Greek is energeo. So to be genuine faith has to be energized by love. So these go together. As we strengthen our faith, we're strengthening our love. And as we strengthen our love, our faith grows as well. And so that takes us to Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And that is the faith that I long to have. And I pray earnestly to God that he will give me the next time, for whatever reason, I am discouraged by illness or pain or suffering. I want to make that commitment to have the trust in God that it isn't dependent on feeling, but is dependent on the Word of God, knowing that these words, that he remains faithful even when we lose faith, because he is dependable and cannot deny who he is. And I want to make that commitment, and I hope that each one of you will make that commitment. If you want to make this commitment to follow in the faith of Jesus, I pray that you will ask him to come into your heart and give you his faith when we pray today. Should we bow our heads? Father in heaven, thank you so much for the faith of Jesus that you bless us with through reading your word. And Lord, we pray that you will grow that faith in each of our hearts as we experience the trials of life. Help us to trust in you in spite of the way we feel, in spite of what we're surrounded by. Help our faith to reach and take hold of the promises in your word and realize that you are faithful and you will not let us be tempted above that we are able. And we thank you for growing us and trying us as with fire to bring us forth as gold to to your name's honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.